I gave this platform to God, okay? I'm on a very specific mission.
We have to identify who the real enemy is. We have to know, where does this infiltration come from? The American people need a warrior that's unafraid to point out the real enemy. The American people are deserving of truth, exposure, and extreme accountability for the crimes against humanity that are being committed. We're on the brink of the complete collapse of America, while at the same time at the precipice of an amazing victory. If we want to prevent our children from facing a future bloodbath, I mean, I'm talking mass amounts of bloodshed, we need to step up and fight this war, and we need to fight it now. Uncensored. I refuse to be silenced or muzzled. Unafraid. No man will intimidate me. Unstoppable.
Back after an unexpected day off, broadcasting live from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Good evening and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. In many totalitarian states or third world dictatorships, the flow of information is directly and admittedly controlled by a small group of people in the upper echelons of the government. This is the news that you get. This is state-controlled media. Everybody knows that. Now, of course, these people that are running the news, they're not elected. They're usually partisan apparatchiks. They're put in their positions to carry out the agenda of whatever political or military machine is in control of that particular country at that particular time. But here in America, in the free United States of America, we're told from a very early age that one of the greatest, if not the greatest thing about this country, is our free press. We're told that our media is not controlled by the government and that we have many different sources that we can go to, many different organizations and reporters, TV and radio programs that we can go to get a wide offering of news and other information that we need to know to be educated and be contributing citizens of society. At least that's how things were supposed to be. But instead of a free press, instead of the free flow of information in the sort of open source news ecosystem that would be possible if the Constitutional Republic we're told about actually existed, instead of a robust and independent media that holds the powerful accountable, we just have a dolled up version of a state-run totalitarian media system. But actually, it's even worse than that. Because it's not just our government that has influence and control over American media. No, it's individuals and entities from all over the world. Now, of course, the media is not bragging about this. No, they don't like to admit it, but anyone who's done any research at all knows this to be true. The media in this country is owned and operated by just a handful of corporations, just a handful of powerful cosmopolitan globalists, and they control almost all of the information that we receive, especially when it comes to news about politics and functions of government. In fact, it's only just six corporations that control roughly 90% of media in the United States. Did you know that? AT&T, CBS, Comcast, Disney, News Corp, and Viacom. And those six corporations are really just five because CBS and Viacom are joined at the hip. And so in turn, through this small number of corporations, all deeply in bed with the federal government and globalist NGOs and a litany of other corporations controlling tech and medicine and social media and so much more, nearly all of the news and entertainment and culture that we consume, be it politics or sports, movies, music, whatever TV show is the viral binge watch of the month, almost all of it goes through these corporations and their many tentacles. Now, they could easily be broken up under antitrust laws. Many people called for President Trump to do just that, but they're one with Washington, so that'll likely never happen. And money aside, both sides have each other compromised. So while nearly every major media outlet that's on the air will claim to be a collective of independent-minded journalists working to bring meaningful stories to people, in reality, they're almost always doing the bidding of a much larger sadistic group of parasites. But still, they'll look you right in your face. And they'll tell you that they're bringing you fair and balanced news. And many of their sleepwalking viewers will believe them. But there is, however, one media organization that everyone seems to agree is run by the government and living off the people, and that's NPR. Though they'll tell you they're as legitimate news outlet as anyone else, they even quit X over being labeled state-funded media, which they are. NPR likes to portray itself, and it's often seen as this benign, policy-oriented news source. It's bland, it's drab, it's about as boring as a radio network or a news website as you could possibly find. But recently, we've learned that NPR, the state-funded media apparatus of our federal government under CEO Catherine Maher, is actively censoring and sacking employees who object to what one now former NPR objector named Uri Berliner called a rampant left-wing bias. Before his resignation on Wednesday, Berliner, a veteran editor at NPR, was suspended without pay after writing an essay in the Free Press accusing his employer of giving NPR listeners and readers, quote, the distilled worldview of a very small segment of the U.S. population, through a left-wing prism relevant to an even smaller segment of the population. And that seems to be exactly what NPR leadership wants to do, because they're doubling down on their support of Catherine Maher the tyrant. In a public resignation announcement, Uri Berliner wrote, quote, I'm resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I've worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defund NPR. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism. But I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR I cite in my Free Press essay. End quote. But you see, that's what Catherine Maher does for a living. It's what she's always done. Before she was stifling free speech at NPR, she was rewriting reality as the CEO of Wikipedia. And as the story around Uri Berliner continues to unfold, video footage of Catherine Maher talking to the globalist war hawks at the Atlantic Council is circulating now. It's going viral all over the place. And it shows her talking about how when she was heading up Wikipedia, she was working directly with the federal government, taking censorship orders from them. Shaping Wikipedia, which as the name suggests is supposed to be an encyclopedic website, in the image of the global homo deep state that's taken up residence in Washington, D.C. And this is like something out of 1984. The government and its technocrats can rewrite history. They can rewrite reality at any time that they want, and they're not shy about it. They're proud of it. They brag about it amongst themselves. Watch.
We took a very active approach to disinformation and misinformation coming into not just the last election, but also looking at how we supported our editing community in an unprecedented moment where we were not only dealing with a global pandemic, we were dealing with a novel virus, which by definition means we knew nothing about it in real time, and we're trying to figure it out as the pandemic went along. And so we really set up in response to both the pandemic, but also in response to the upcoming US election and as a model for future elections outside of the US, including a number that are happening this year, obviously went through yet another Israeli election. The model was around how do we create sort of a clearinghouse of information that brings the institution of the Wikimedia Foundation with the editing community in order to be able to identify threats early on through conversations with government, of course, as well as other platform operators to understand sort of what the landscape looks like.
This woman is a disgusting creature of the deep state and its public-private partnerships that make sure that whatever the government can't control directly, it can control through its organizational minions, like Maher. Now, obviously, this video of Catherine Maher goes hand in hand with the story of Uri Berliner, but this woman gets even worse. A while back, she actually gave a TED Talk. And during that talk, she bragged all about how, as the CEO of Wikipedia, she was able to decide for everyone else, for you, what's true and what's not. And after she decided what the truth entailed, she was able to then decide whether or not the general public was even allowed to know the truth, because the truth, she said, can get in the way. Look.
But what about the hard things, the places where we are prone to disagreement, say politics and religion? Well, as it turns out, not only does Wikipedia's model work there, it actually works really well. Because in our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt over disagreement about what the truth actually is. But the people who write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years of working with these brilliant folks, I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. Now, that is not to say that the truth doesn't exist. Nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. So we all have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from, how we were raised, and how other people perceive us.
Just listen to the arrogance of this woman. She thinks you're stupid. And ultimately, she wants to throw you and your kids in a FEMA camp, at minimum. Chad Prather has a lot to say about this disgusting parasitic organism that calls itself the American media, and he joins us now to share more. Chad, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, Stu, good to be with you. This is interesting. I think, you know, Vladimir Lenin would be very, very proud of what we've created in this country with these conglomerates of media. You know, back during the COVID pandemic, I started listing all the tyrannies, the people with the boot on our necks. You know, we saw the medical tyrannies, the corporate tyranny, the economic tyranny, the judicial tyranny. We're seeing a lot of that right now in the case of Trump. One of the big ones is media tyranny. You know, when I went off to the University of Georgia in 1991, it seems like a long time ago, I guess it was. I went there because I wanted to go to their broadcast journalism school. I realized pretty quick once I got there that journalistic objectivity, even in the early 90s, was a dead thing. Whenever you read an article or you listen to a news story, not an opinion piece like what you and I do or a podcast, I'm talking about a legitimate news source. When you read that or listen to that, at the end of the story, if you know the leaning of the author or the creator, then that's not journalistic objectivity. These people have thrown that completely out. They don't care anymore. So what we should be calling it is national partisan radio. It's certainly not public radio. I mean, if you go back and you take into account 75 million Americans voted for Donald Trump, and now a person like Maher is going to go on Twitter, X, and is going to put these statements out there, like she tweeted, Donald Trump is a racist. This is, and I agree with you, Stu. Go to my Wikipedia. My Wikipedia is filled with misinformation. And you know what? I can't go in and edit that. I can't change that. I can't add to it or take it away. Or they, you know, I get a big reprimand letter, but it's okay for other people to go in there and say whatever they want to say. So these people are creating reality. They're calling it the media. They're calling it a news source. And it's everything but that. What we are seeing in America is a controlled, elite, tyrannical class of media mouthpieces that are being controlled by bureaucrats and nothing more.
I want to say something here, and I'm going to read this from my phone. Maybe can you guys throw this up on the screen? Here's at the top of my Wikipedia. Born April 1st, 1980. That's not accurate at all. I was born March 31st. Is an American alt-right internet personality, white nationalist, political commentator, Holocaust denier, and conspiracy theorist. He's known for promoting COVID-19 misinformation and conspiracy theories, as well as anti-LGBTQ, anti-Semitic, and white supremacist beliefs. How can they get away with saying that I am all of these things without being sued? I mean, I should be able to sue them for saying that I'm a Holocaust denier. I'm not. That I'm a white nationalist. I'm not. That I'm anti-Semitic. That's a fake word. I don't even know what that means.
Well, Stu, if you've ever been accused of those things, remember, this is the world we're living in, right? If you've ever been accused of those things, then you must be those things.
Oh, well, then Tony Fauci is a mass murderer and Joe Biden is a pedophile.
Exactly.
But you won't find that on their Wikipedia.
You're not going to see that. You're not going to go to Anthony Fauci's Wikipedia and see where he has recently said that the COVID vaccine, most specifically when young men, is causing some problems. You're not going to see that type of information put out there. You're not going to see, you know, people citing the Atlantic article that asked for COVID amnesty because of the way that the elitists in that world it behaved towards people who had a different opinion, towards mass, you know, this mass control that they put on America. They're not going to talk about those types of things. They're not going to talk about articles that say that COVID should be treated like the flu now. Again, I've lived on YouTube, which is Google, I have lived on YouTube for the last 3 years with two different medical misinformation strikes, which means with 368,000 followers, because I chose to discuss what was going on in our world, they completely throttled my account. So this is the same type of mentality. The overlords don't like what you're saying, so they're going to latch on to any accusation that anybody's ever made about you, and therefore they apply it as though it's truth. And then they put the cynical, the deviant, just the malicious word media behind it to give it some form of authenticity. It's like Adam and Eve are just continuing to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, I mean, God had enough grace to banish them out of the garden so they wouldn't keep eating that stuff. We've built a shrine and an altar to the tree, man, and we just keep going back there plucking fruit off of that thing and eating it, calling it truth, and if anything, it's making us more and more blind.
Yeah. I had a relatively large Instagram account. Well, first of all, I was banned from YouTube when I had about 250,000 followers on YouTube. Just totally gone. Wiped it off the face of the planet. All of the content, I'll never be able to get it back. Instagram had a relatively large account. I cited an article from the Chicago Tribune that discredits the number of people that were actually killed at Auschwitz, and that they admit that the reason why these numbers are no longer etched into stone is because they were fake. They were wrong. They were not real. And I just cited the Chicago Tribune's article about that. Boom, they wiped me off of Instagram. I now have an account with 3,000 followers. If you search Stu Peters, all the fake ones come up, but mine doesn't, and they won't verify me. Yesterday, Facebook labeled me a dangerous individual. They wiped my Facebook. I don't even post on Facebook. It's a personal account. The only thing I post there is pictures of my kids, and I am a dangerous individual. Lenin, as you cited at the beginning of our talk here today, he would actually look like, you know, a schoolboy compared to what's happening in our country right now. My question is, how dangerous is that? How much of the population do you really believe is looking to Google? For example, if you go meet somebody new and they're like, oh yeah, Chad Prather, well, I've never heard of you, but, and you're like, well, I'm really famous. And they're like, oh, well, I would like to look you up. And, you know, or what do you do for a living? And then you tell them, and then they get Google has nothing good to say about you. Wikipedia has nothing good to say about you. How many people are digesting this information and considering it to be objective and factual? And how dangerous is that?
It's very dangerous because ultimately what these people are after is an eradication of the First Amendment. They're scared of the First Amendment. They never want its implications and its application to be, you know, meted out in the general public. They don't want people to understand the power. They understand the power of it. They just don't want you to understand the power of it, and they're scared of it. So they're trying to throttle that back. So if you go to my Wikipedia while we're commiserating, or you go to my Wikipedia, I ran for governor in the state of Texas in the primary in 2022, okay? Against Greg Abbott as a Republican. Now, if you read that Wikipedia, it talks about that and says that my platform was for us to pull Texas out of the United States of America. Now, I'm quoted in an article, or someone wrote an article, because at a debate forum, that question was brought up based on the Texas bill that was sponsored by State Representative Kyle Biederman here in the state of Texas, and they asked our opinion on it. So we discussed it, but they said, that's my platform. So I can't tell you how many times people have called me some seditious traitor. You know, there's one statement in there says I was born in New Jersey. Well, people know me for my Western lifestyle. They know with the cowboy hat. They know the comedy and all of the stuff that's birthed out of that. So every day someone is reminding me that even though I'm in Texas and talk about Texas issues, that I should have no voice in it because I was born in New Jersey. I lived there 4 months of my life, Stu. But this is the type of stuff, when you take something as benign and stupid as that, now apply it to medical information. Now apply it to legitimate court-ish proceedings or this information that people need to go out and find out. When you know employers are going to Wikipedia, or I should say Facebook accounts, social media accounts, to determine whether or not they're going to hire somebody, this gets into deep, deep control. You can call it deep state. You can call it elitist. You can call it tyranny, whatever. But ultimately, it's wrecking people's lives.
Yeah. Not only that, but criminal investigators, when they're considering whether or not to bring you up on charges, will go and look at that and then try to get enhancements in front of a judge based on what these parasites are saying. And if you look at the contributors to my Wikipedia, it's people like Media Matters. That is a directly George Soros funded, I mean, like the enemy of freedom. That's his baby, right? And then, you know, the Daily Beast. These are the people that are allowed to say about me whatever they want and then present it And it's not just me. I'm not playing the victim here by any means. I mean, it's you. It's a whole lot of anybody who's like pro individual liberty and freedom and bodily autonomy. I mean, those are all really nasty things. When you have an out of control uniparty, totalitarian crackdown happening here. And I think that it's alarming to me that so many people still consider this to be objective and that the danger actually really exists, because if there were independently critically thinking individuals that could use any of their brain at all whatsoever, they would say, I wonder why it is that they would shut down all of that free speech. I wonder why it is that they're so worried about what Stu Peters and Chad Prather are saying. It has to be because whatever they're saying is exactly what we should be discussing. And if you turn on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or ABC or any of the major broadcast or cable news networks, they're none of them are talking about what you are talking about at your dinner table and what is important to you and your family and your kids and the immediate threat that faces you and your family and your kids and your freedom and your individual liberties. And so they can't have us talking about that, because they know then that we would be talking to people who own, over 450 million guns in this country, who are directed by the Constitution to use them if the tyrannical government becomes oppressive to your God-given inherent rights.
Yeah.
So
I was I posted the other day about this SAVE Act, you know, the Safeguarding American Voter Eligibility thing, which Speaker of the House Mike Johnson put out there as a bill saying we want to make sure that we ensure American elections, that illegals aren't voting in elections in the future. And you put something out about that, and immediately the reries on Twitter want to come at you and say it's already illegal for people that aren't citizens to vote. I understand that. And then they want to quote all these little sources. Like, it's also illegal for people to cross the border the way they are right now. But they don't want to hear that. We've proven to you that what you said is false because it's illegal. Okay, no. You're seeing one side of this, you're taking a media side of this, and then they turn people like you and me for even talking about these issues into charlatan pot stirrers who are fear mongers that are trying to get people all lathered up. You know, the people who don't, what was it? Who was it? Katie Couric, who said that we're just a bunch of, you know, anybody that's on, basically anybody on the right. She was directly referring to MAGA. She said, you know, those people are just a bunch of ignorant people that are threatened by, you know, people with an education and an elite class. So that's what we're doing. We're just trying to pour fuel on that fire. All I'm after, Stu, all you're after, is I want to sit down and have a conversation with the world. I want to be able to put the thoughts that are in my head out there. There's the only one way that I can transfer the ideas that are in my brain and try to put them in your brain, and that's through the gift of language. And they want to make sure that stops, because that transference of ideas is deadly dangerous to the pile of bureaucrats that are actually running this country.
It's also illegal to loot and burn and rob and steal and rape and murder. But guess who got away with that during the summer of love over 2020 for $312 billion in damage? Oh, by the way, it's also illegal to molest little girls. And according to Ashley Biden, the daughter of the sitting so-called president of the United States, he did just exactly that. That's not going to be found on his Wikipedia either. Chad Prather, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu.
Of course. Another thing that the free press won't tell you about, they won't remind you that we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars to literal neo-Nazis in Ukraine, whether you like it or not. They won't remind you that you're sending billions and billions of dollars without your permission to our greatest ally, that foreign, secular, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual nation state called Israel. They won't tell you that we're sending billions of dollars for Taiwan aid. No, and they won't tell you about hyperinflation. No, that doesn't exist. So you need a hedge against hyperinflation. That's why I buy gold and silver, and I buy it from Goldco. You should call them today, 855-706-GOLD. Goldco is helping millions of Americans to protect their retirement. The dollar means nothing. It's paper. They just print more. It's fake. Get gold and silver, physical gold and silver. I get mine from Goldco. I trust them. I'd ask you to trust them as well. Call them today, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. We'll be right back. Times are uncertain, to say the least. And being prepared right now is more crucial than it ever has been before, which is why I'm here to tell you about this incredible offer from our trusted partner, American Reserves. For the entire month of April, American Reserves is offering you, the Stu Peters community, free 72-hour kits with any purchase. You heard that right. Free product with any purchase, no matter how many purchases. All you need to do is use code STU72 at checkout, because at American Reserves, it's not just about selling products. It's about ensuring that you and your loved ones are safe and prepared. This is your one-stop shop for high-quality, long-shelf-life emergency food, top-tier water filtration products, and essential survival gear. And they understand the value of being prepared without breaking the bank at American Reserves. To help make your family readiness even more accessible, American Reserves offers Shop Pay that allows you to get the products immediately and pay later. That means that you can secure your family's safety right now, today, and pay in small, manageable installments. No stress, no compromise on quality. Don't wait until it's too late. Visit AmericanReserves.com right now, grab your free 72-hour emergency kit with any purchase, and take a smart step toward being prepared. With American Reserves and Shop Pay, you're not just preparing for emergencies, you're investing in peace of mind. The American Reserves team are my friends. I trust them with my own family's preparedness. They're true Christians and patriots, and they help support my work. Go to the good people right now at AmericanReserves.com and use the code STU72 to check out and prepare your family. Welcome back. So jury selection in President Trump's New York sham trial is underway, where he faces politicized charges from Soros-funded DA Alvin Bragg over this alleged payment Trump made years ago to Stormy Daniels. Now, the situation here is pretty clear-cut. It's obvious that this is a political hit job, and everyone knows it. This is meant to keep Donald Trump tied up in court and off of the campaign trail. It's meant to embarrass him, to sully his reputation and his image with the public, and these prosecutors and political operatives will be taking it as far as they can because nothing that they've been able to do so far has worked. No matter what they've thrown at him, no matter what they've charged him with, his supporters have stood by him. And others have quietly admitted they'll vote for him and hope that things can go back to something resembling normal. So when we're seeing in New York City, just like Atlanta, just like in D.C. and Miami, that this is all one big kangaroo court show trial, we realize this is nothing more than a political stunt. It's a centerpiece of the election meddling and rigging strategy that's been employed for 2024. Trump knows this. He called it out when he was going into court on Monday. He said, quote, "This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. I'm very honored to be here," end quote. This is a case brought by a Soros-funded prosecutor and presided over by a foreign-born leftist judge whose daughter worked for Kamala Harris. But ultimately, the decision will be up to the jury. They're the ones who will decide whether to find Trump guilty or innocent. And in a deep blue city like New York, in a politically charged environment, there have been a lot of concerns about finding reliable jurors, people who can actually sit there objectively and take a look at the merits of the case. Because even if people go in and tell the court that they can be non-biased and that they have a neutral opinion of Trump, they could be lying. They could be trying to insert themselves into the case as a way to ensure a guilty verdict, to inflict maximum damage on a former president and current presidential candidate who they hate with a religious passion. And it looks like that's exactly what one potential Trump juror could have been doing. Only she's been released from the case, not because she hates Trump, but because of a scheduling conflict. Before she was released, she told the courts that she could serve as an unbiased juror. But after she left the courthouse, she was telling an entirely different story. She actually stood outside fielding questions from reporters and rambling on about the things that she hates about Trump.
Can you share your opinion of the former president and why you felt that you could be unbiased?
I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with someone who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. I have a sister who was adopted from China, and the comments he made about China when he was running for president made her very anxious, and therefore made me angry. There are policies he supported that regard women and reproductive health that I do not agree with. And I think all of that needs to be addressed.
Let's take a look at that woman. She's obviously a self-absorbed emotional basket case, but she's also a danger to this country. She's standing outside of a courthouse where a former president of the United States and leading presidential candidate is being politically persecuted to the furthest extent in American history. She's standing there effectively admitting that she successfully lied about being unbiased to get on the jury, only to be foiled by a scheduling conflict. And of course, she's a COVIDian. Of course, that's what she leads with when she rattles off all of her complaints about Trump. She's so brainwashed that she likely doesn't even realize he's the guy who made sure that she could take 6 million shots. But you see, these are the type of people that you end up with on a jury in a country as polarized as this one, in a country filled to the brim with as many different grievance groups fighting for influence and control as this one. And because of that, no matter who you are, your likelihood of getting a fair and reasonable trial is extremely low, if possible at all. If you're a white guy, especially a notable one, your chances are even worse. George Papadopoulos is a friend of the program, personal friend of mine. He knows a few things about this country's decaying legal system's treatment of Trump and his associates, including himself, and he joins us now to discuss this in greater detail. Papa, thank you so much for coming. So here she is right out in the wide open saying, yeah, I hate this guy, and I lied saying that I could be unbiased, but I'm off because of a scheduling conflict. I mean, how can Trump get a fair, or anybody get a fair trial in this country?
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Sue. And look, the fix is in, right? I mean, I think that we're all assuming he's going to be convicted in New York. This is a kangaroo court process. We've seen these type of processes throughout history, from the Stalin era through various other eras. You've seen it in communist China, you know, in the many banana republics. So a lot of the worst of those type of systems and countries has now been imported in the United States. And what the Biden administration has really done, I should call it a regime, because they're acting more like a regime than a presidency, is they've weaponized the legal system in pursuit of a political agenda and want to stifle dissent writ large in America, such as the president himself, that they're trying to throw in prison or to take away his First Amendment. They're doing it to various Americans. You mentioned some of these Americans, you know, white male Christian Americans are deemed as terrorists in America, white supremacy, Catholics, school teachers, you name it, they've all been targeted if they go against the government apparatus. So this is a very disturbing trend. And I don't think Trump, of course, is going to have a fair trial, but I don't think it really matters at this point.
What happens if he's convicted?
I think it's almost like a stock, right? You almost are like juicing in the price that you're expecting for the future based on certain information. I think most people already believe he's going to be convicted. I don't think that's going to impact him whatsoever regarding fundraising, his polling. If it was going to, we would have already seen it by now.
But what's going to happen to him personally? I mean, if he's convicted of this, what are the potential sentencing guidelines that he faces?
Well, this is more of a civil issue. So I don't really see any jail time coming out of this civil case, right? You're talking about so-called hush payments or whatever. But you know what's even more interesting, Stu, is we have to look at what Michael Avenatti has actually been saying from prison. What has he been saying from prison lately? He's saying that Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen were actually having an affair themselves, that this was all some sort of plot concocted by Michael Cohen himself in order to cover up what he was up to with Stormy Daniels so his wife wouldn't find out. And then they laid it on Trump. Trump this entire time has always said he's never had an affair with Stormy Daniels. She herself has actually signed a letter saying she had no affair with Trump. So this entire thing is incredibly bizarre. It's concocted. And you understand that people like Cohen and some of his Democrat cohorts now are just colluding, using him as a useful idiot, using Stormy Daniels as a useful idiot, with people like Bragg and the regime colluding to take down Trump. But I'll say one thing about this whole fiasco. If you look at it from a 30,000 foot view, right? I think that the Democrats wanted that white Bronco moment. Let's go back to the O.J. Simpson trial, right? The O.J. Simpson fiasco. He's going down that Bronco with the Bronco. All eyes and cameras are on him. It's a spectacle. He goes into that courtroom. Everybody's watching it. The problem is that the Democrats have levied so many cases against Trump, so many charges, that even the most ardent supporters or haters against Trump have no idea what the hell is really going on, because so much has been thrown at them. And I think it's really losing its impact. Hmm.
What's going to happen in this country? I mean, here you have a case where Stormy Daniels herself has said and signed a document that said that she did not have an affair, so there could be no hush money payment, because what would you be hushing, really, if there was no affair? Trump says that there was no affair. Both parties are saying there's no affair. This is a crime made up of whole cloth. This is show me the man, I'll show you the crime. That's the definition of a banana republic. If they can do this to Trump, they can do it to absolutely everybody else. So what's going to happen in the country? What do you see happening among the populace if this guy is convicted?
Yeah, I think there's just going to be a continued erosion of the rule of law, the trust in the system, the trust in the institutions. I think that you're likely going to have an even greater divide between these so-called liberal megalopolises like New York, Chicago, L.A., others, and how those systems are run by these type of jurors and these type of Soros appointed DAs and corrupt judges, and then you're likely going to have local legislators, local judges, federal prosecutors in red states weaponize themselves against Democrats. And then it's just going to be this untenable situation where once one party's in power, they weaponize the legal system against the other. Then that goes back and forth. And then at the end of the day, the American people are the ones that are going to suffer.
And so what do the American people do about this? 2 minutes left.
The American people, unfortunately, are in a position between a rock and a hard place. They are stuck between whether they're on the Democrat side or the Republican side. They understand that they're individual that will rise to power will be targeted by whichever party is in power. And unfortunately, this is what goes on in banana republics. It's happened through a communist China, Stalinist Russia. It's being imported here, as we said at the beginning of this show. There's really nothing the United States can do at this point except change leadership positions, get these foreign-born operatives who are financing and funding these radical DAs and prosecutors and others from having any influence in the United States of America. If we can't change the laws that prevent this shadow money, this dark money, and these foreign operatives financing this type of corruption in America, then we have no chance whatsoever in the future.
Yeah, it's hard to do when any sitting member of Congress or the Senate or any candidate for the president or any candidate for anything all seems to be swearing an allegiance to, foreign nation states before they even swear an oath to the Constitution. They all seem to be bowing to the same paymasters. It's really quite scary. Banana Republic is the only thing that I can think of at this point. I hope that the American people just say, we've had enough of this, and then act pursuant to the Constitution and dismantle or abolish and replace a form of government that has clearly become oppressive to our God-given inherent inalienable rights. We have to do that. We're derelict in our duties as Americans if we don't. And this Trump case and all of the cases against Donald Trump are just an example of everything that they're going to do to every single person that's a dissident to the official government narrative of the totalitarian elite oligarchs that want to put you in FEMA camps at very minimum. George Papadopoulos, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Stu.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. You all know that I love Magnesium Breakthrough. It's been a life changer for me. My sleep, my mood, my relaxation. So for those of you that have never tried it, now's your chance, because this month only, you can get a free bottle of this best-selling full-spectrum supplement that contains all seven forms of magnesium that your body craves in exactly the right balance. Bioptimizers, the people who make this Magnesium Breakthrough, are offering a 14-day sleep challenge. So for all of you in Stu Crew, you get a free 14-day supply. All you have to do is pay some nominal shipping fee. That's it. No other strings attached. No other purchase required. The challenge is simple. Try Mag Breakthrough for 14 days. See all the positive changes I just mentioned. If your sleep and energy are not absolutely rocking by the end of 14 days, you've lost nothing. But if they are, your life is back on track. Get your free bottle. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, that's magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Enter the coupon code StuPeters10. That's it. Look, they wouldn't be letting me give these bottles away if they weren't 100% confident how effective it is. And again, this is now on the short list of supplements that I absolutely have to have every day. Get your free 14-day supply right now. magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. The Purge is our solution. Purge Suddenly offers a unique blend of 17 detoxifying ingredients, including black walnut hull and wormwood, scientifically proven to not only kill parasites, but to destroy and flush them out. If you've never gone through a parasite cleanse or didn't do it the right way, our proven formula prepares you for a complete and total victory. Increased alertness, weight loss, and clear skin are just a few of the potential benefits customers have reported back. Kill the parasites, destroy their eggs, and build a big, beautiful wall inside your body to keep them out. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.
So for quite some time now, the corporate media have been using their free speech to call for the end of our free speech. We've all seen these ridiculous op-eds and articles that claim to be news reports coming from legacy media outlets saying that the middle class being able to speak freely is the biggest threat faced by modern America. They say that if the American people can communicate too freely, we may end up with a country that benefits us and not a country that benefits them. So naturally, they want to shut it all down. Just this week, NBC News admitted that. They published a hit piece complaining about how since Elon Musk took over X, free speech has started trickling back onto the platform. Now, of course, it's not perfect. Actually, it's far from it. People are still being heavily censored to this day on that platform. They're being banned. They're having their posts suppressed, their publicly viewable interaction numbers manipulated to look lower than they really are. But it's undeniable that more speech actually is getting through today than it was before Musk took over. And this has caused a whole lot of people to go off the deep end. It wasn't long ago that advertisers like Disney were working with the ADL to try to get Elon and X to silence people like us. But making accusation-laced demands and threats, that didn't work. And so now they're going the hit piece route, claiming that X is a safe space for anti-Semitism. NBC compiled a list of accounts that they don't like, accounts that they claim are spreading this horrifying hate speech. They crafted a hit piece with as scary title as they could possibly muster, declaring that verified pro-Nazi X accounts flourish under Elon Musk. According to NBC, the owners of these accounts are raising a few too many questions, getting just a few too many people to notice. And so now they need to be canceled. NBC had the following to say about yours truly, quote, "One of the premium accounts belongs to Stu Peters, a Florida-based host of an internet talk show who has praised Nazi book burning in 1930s Germany. Last month, a post of his denying the Holocaust went viral on X with 1.9 million views. Peters has more than 574,000 followers on X, where his posts often include anti-Semitism, and his account links to his website charging $10 a month for videos," which, by the way, you know that we never charge for videos unless you want to go ad-free. "In response to a request for comment, Peters said NBC News was using ad hominem arguments to create narratives out of the whole cloth," end quote. Well, this is exactly what they're doing. They can't refute the points. So they just, you know, call us names. They're like little kids, except they're gay and communist adults. These people are like broken records. It's totally pathetic. NBC News and the rest of the freaks see the writing on the wall. They see the mass exodus of news consumers running away from their propaganda coverage as fast as they can. NBC and the rest of the corporate media, they've worked directly with the CIA to brainwash and control Americans for decades. And now they're losing their grip. And they're losing it to programs like this one. They can't keep up. And so they're getting desperate. Sam Parker knows a thing or two about being censored and accused of spreading hate speech and anti-Semitism on X. Yeah, you're a dangerous individual. Facebook, by the way, banned me yesterday. My personal account that I never post anything other than, you know, pictures of me and my kids. Personal account. They banned me saying that I'm a, quote, dangerous individual. Instagram banned me several months ago. I had a very large account. They banned it. I now only have 3,000 followers after restarting. And if you go search Stu Peters, you'll never find me. You'll find all the fake ones. We're in a lot of trouble here.
Yeah, we absolutely are, Stu. The censorship is getting crazy again. We had a brief respite for a few months under the Elon Musk regime on Twitter, now known as X. I refuse to call it X in as much as it's resurrected all the old abuses of Twitter 1.0. And it's actually worse now because they charge us for it. They charge us to get deboosted and to get censored and to be shadow banned. So I conclude that it's actually worse than before on that basis. But yeah, it's terrible what they've done to you, taking away your Facebook. You can't even share photos of your kids with your family.
I mean, parents, you know, these are boomer aged people that, you know, if they can remember, I mean, these are MySpace users. Facebook is a challenge, right? You know, it's a challenge for these people to even be on Facebook, but oftentimes it's the only way to stay connected with family pictures and goings on and updates and holidays and all of those things with these people who are otherwise out of touch, using flip phones and snail mail to send letters at Christmas time. So, you know, we heavily rely on that platform. I've done nothing dangerous on that platform other than just merely exist in this space.
And that's really what it is. They don't like that you exist. That's literally what it is, that you exist and have ideas and opinions that don't agree with theirs. I mean, look at Thomas Massie in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's one of 435 representatives, right? And he's the only one that stands up against foreign aid to Israel. But not just foreign aid to Israel, foreign aid to every country. He doesn't even single out Israel. He simply says, I don't believe in foreign aid for any country. Keep that money here in the United States. And simply for that, the AIPAC and the ADL and these Jewish organizations are seeking to basically oust him and get rid of him out of Congress, because there's one guy who won't vote to send billions of dollars to Israel, right? Just one out of 435. They can't even have one minor dissenter on those terms, a guy who just doesn't want to send money to other countries in general. So it bothers them that we exist, that people who have different opinions than them exist. And they will literally spare no expense, stop at nothing to make sure that we have no voice, no existence, and no presence. And if we lose our jobs and lose our banking and lose our paychecks, hey, that's a bonus for them.
Yeah, they call me a conspiracy theorist because we theorize about proven conspiracies for this corporate crime syndicate to carry out against all of us Americans. I mean, everything that we've ever, you know, theorized about has turned out to be not a theory, but a bona fide conspiracy. And, you know, then they talk about praising Nazi book burning. How dare I praise the burning of pedophilic pornographic materials that were being shoved in the faces of children? I think that was a heroic act. I don't really care about, yeah. I wasn't talking about anything else that Hitler may have done.
I remember that segment that you gave, Stu. I was inspired by it. I found it electrifying. Calling for the burning of smut and child abusive, you know, child sexual materials across the country.
Yeah, I think every parent in every community should start banding together with other like-minded parents, go in, check out these books from the school library and the public libraries that are being pushed in front of kids, and then have big burn parties. I think that would be a great thing. Who could actually argue that? They are literally pushing pedophilia in front of your children, and you're just standing by letting it happen, and God, if you do something about it, then you're a pro-Nazi. And then they said that I denied the Holocaust. I didn't deny the Holocaust. I literally cited a Chicago Tribune article that said, here is the reason why the numbers from Auschwitz are no longer engraved in stone. They're no longer etched in stone because they were fake.
That's right. Yeah, they were revised downwards. The old plaque at Auschwitz read 4 million victims, and the new one reads 1.5 million victims. And if it's the post that I remember, you were simply calling that out and citing an article from the mainstream media itself discussing this. And it got, and they complain and say that it got something like 1.5 million views. Now, let's put that in perspective. 1.5 million views, the same numbers on the plaque, ironically. But let's put that into context. There are 550 million posts a day on Twitter. 550 million generating billions of views per day. And your post noting this historical change from 4 million to 1.5 million got 1.5 million views. That's barely a drop in the bucket. And furthermore, in this article, they talk about they tracked 150 premium accounts out of over 175 million daily active users. So that's less than one in a million that they were checking. Furthermore, they said they tracked seven posts that got 4.5 million views over a 7-day period. And over that same 7-day period, Twitter likely got between 3.5 to 4 billion posts, and multiply that by a few dozen at least views per post. You're talking about several tens of billions of views over a 7-day period, and they're complaining about seven posts that got 4.5 million. These people will stop at nothing. They can't have any dissent. And they just keep proving that they have the power that they say they don't have. We don't control the media. That's just a conspiracy theory. And because you're saying that, we're going to make sure that you're banned from Facebook, even though you haven't, you know, violated any terms of Facebook. You're going to be banned from Instagram, and you can't share information on Instagram. We're going to ban you on Twitter. We're going to ban you ever. And we're going to take away your banking too, and payment processors, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. You know, these types of services, and even Linktree. Like, I can't even have a Linktree, Stu.
Yeah, or it's just
one of those pages that has your social media. Like, they just took that away from me one day. And ironically, a day after they were promoting, you know, me getting a discount for upgrading to their pro service. So and then the next day they banned me. So, like, you know, the left hand doesn't even know what the right hand's doing. But this is outrageous that they're censoring speech. It's outrageous that this is happening in America. And I'm reminded of a Communist Party directive from 1943. The Soviet Union issued a directive to its agents in the Communist Party in the United States in 1943. And they said, when you run into any irritating obstructionist, label them as fascists, Nazis, or anti-Semites, and work with anti-hate and tolerance organizations to paint them as such. All right. So that's literally the same recipe they're using now. They're smearing us as fascists, Nazis, white supremacists, anti-Semites, and they're working through these anti-hate tolerance organizations like the ADL or the Center for Countering Digital Hate or the SPLC or Media Matters or NBC News to smear us, call us names. And what do these names really mean, Stu? When they call us an anti-Semite or Nazi or fascist, it just means we don't agree with their supremacist ideology and their supremacist positions. So we don't agree. We don't go along with the program. We're an irritating obstructionist. So they're just going to call us names.
Yeah. About a minute left here. Where do you see this going? Do you think that Elon is going to cave and go all the way back? Or do you think that he's going to fight and try to liberate more free speech on this platform?
Well, I think that there is somewhat of a detente right now. He went to Israel. He went to Auschwitz. He seems to be on good terms right now with Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL. Some of the ad revenue is recovering. So there's a bit of a detente. Now, it's a fluid situation, and that can change, and it could change according to the needs of, say, Israel. You know, if they decide to escalate this genocide or go take us into war with Iran, you know, things can change, and they can change quickly. But I think that there's a little bit of a detente right now, much to the chagrin of like NBC News and the Center for Countering Digital Hate, these organizations who, by the way, Elon sued and he lost. Center for Countering Digital Hate won in court last week or a couple of weeks ago. So it's a fluid situation. These people aren't going to stop nipping at his heels, and he's going to continue forging forward. And I think we sort of are at a happy medium. Some people are just unfortunately going to remain off the platform and remain censored. Other people are going to do all right. So I think that's where we're at, but it could change, and it could change quickly.
Yeah. If NBC News gets their way, we'll be basically nuked or put in some kind of a camp somewhere.
Absolutely.
By the way, let's really piss off the pedophile Zuckerberg over there. Go follow me on Instagram. Let's blow that thing up. It's Stu Peters Official. Stu Peters Official on Instagram. I think we should do that. We need to go right into the belly of the beast. We need to use that battlefield as the front lines to combat everything that Zuckerberg promotes by just downgrading the virality of pedophilia and pornographic materials. Sam Parker, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Stu.
Heart disease and blood clots and strokes and kidney failure. You hear these things, you think death. These are all deadly, and all of them can be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle as adverse events. On top of all of it, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary pain relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. That's not a solution to your pain. Not only is it ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors. That's why researchers are saying right now to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. I'm talking about omega-3 fatty acids, but not just any form of omegas that you get with regular fish oil at the big box store down the street. No, these are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it outperforms ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol, and it doesn't have all of those dangerous side effects that we just talked about. For a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now and get your special offer for being a part of this crew, this family. Go to StopMyInflammation.com. Again, that's StopMyInflammation.com. I would like to reserve this book in your name. It's called No Grid Survival Projects, and inside you'll find 75 ingenious do-it-yourself projects that can help you to protect your own family, not only from long-term blackouts or after an EMP, but also in times of economic crisis, riots, hyperinflation, hurricanes, civil war, martial law, or any other unforeseen events that may come our way. This book, the immediate payoff of having these projects is that they make you independent, self-sufficient on your own property. You don't want to depend on the government or anyone else for your basic needs. You'll discover things like how to make water out of thin air, the long-lasting survival foods that you can make at home, automatic backyard traps and alarms for looters and intruders, a pressurized rainwater harvester, EMP-proof survival generators, the self-sustaining greenhouse, a simple device that can keep you off of FEMA's radar, do-it-yourself, no-grid air conditioning unit, and a whole lot more. Yes, air conditioning units. Do it yourself. The immediate payoff of having these projects is that they make you independent and self-sufficient on your own property. You don't want to depend on anybody else. Go to nogridprojects.com/stew and take advantage of a 75% discount. This book right here, and this offer won't be available for long. That's nogridprojects.com/stew. I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about, Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.